Today on JSecio Live, the United States military mulling a response to the latest Syrian military chemical attack on civilians.
Live from Washington, D.C., JSecio Live.
These people are butchers, and not only do they use chemical weapons to kill people, they prevent any humanitarian aid from going in to help them after the attack. There's only one language that these people understand.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Clearly, there needs to be a response. There needs to be an international response. This is against international norms.
And now, your host, Jordan Secchio.
Welcome to JSecio Live. This is Jordan Secchio. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. The Syrian regime, led by Assad, partnering with Russia and Iran, have launched yet again another chemical weapons attack on the Syrian people. Let me just give you an update so far of this attack. It happened on Duma, a small town outside of Damascus. It appears to be a poison gas attack. It could be a chlorine attack. It could be a sarin and chlorine mixture attack. This has already led to the death of 49 people who have been killed. Others are reporting up to 60 dead and more than 1,000 injured. So this is obviously a very chaotic time in Syria with the utilization of another chemical weapon. As a reminder, the last time something like this happened, the U.S. engaged directly. That's when those 65 Tomahawk missiles were fired off Syria's coast from a U.S. Battleship into Syrian air bases as a reprisal. So this has happened before. My dad is joining us from Washington, D.C., yep. And Dad, from a foreign policy standpoint now that that's happened in the past, but we now know moving forward today, now that this includes Syria and it includes Iran and it includes these other state actors on the ground in Syria, that when we take a launch like this, it impacts other people.
No, that's exactly correct. And here's what you have. The president is taking direct action. That's what you're hearing. UN Security Council is meeting over this. But again, you've got Assad utilizing chemical weapons as to harm his own people in violation of international treaties and international accords. He's also, as you said, you've got the Russians and the Iranians. We've talked about that on Holy Alliance many, many times. And now you're seeing it played out in full. And I think what you've got is an unfolding, very dangerous situation right now. I mean, extremely significant in Syria that's going to affect the greater Middle East. So there's a lot more at play here than people realize, Jordan.
Yeah, if people have seen any of the footage out of the White House this morning, this is John Bolton's first day on the job as National Security Advisor. He is there in the meetings. You will see him sitting behind the President of the United States. So if you know him from television, you'll easily be able to point him out. So he's there on an attack like this when it's occurred. We know, let me go to Wes Smith. And Wes, just briefly from your military experience, it looks like this was two rounds of attacks, that the first round was the deadly round, was the sarin gas round, and then the second round was the chlorine attack, and that was what they report is that was actually used to cover up the smell of the sarin gas.
Well, sarin gas actually has no taste and no smell. But if you fired a sarin round and people started convulsing and vomiting and losing body function and dying, they would know that it's sarin. So they fired chlorine either with it or immediately after it so that they would think it's just chlorine gas. And of course, with autopsies and with medical professionals, they will be able to detect the nerve agent sarin in these people's bodies. And the difference is chlorine is not a nerve agent. It makes it difficult, if not impossible, to breathe. Sarin is a nerve agent and is quite deadly.
All right, we are going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. How should the U.S. respond? Should we follow the last response, which is firing up those Tomahawk missiles and aiming them right at Syrian military bases? That's one thought. 1-800-684-3110. Do you believe that we have to be more cautious because of the increased Iranian and Russian involvement now in Syria? What are your thoughts as the U.S. we know is mulling their choice, their decision they have to make about how to respond? 1-800-684-3110 to call in and talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Support our matching challenge at aclj.org. Double the impact of your donation to ACLJ.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So the United Nations is set to hold an emergency meeting on the situation in Syria following a deadly chemical weapons attack on Saturday. But it was very interesting during the break. We were talking about the way the Russians are responding. So I was asking to Wes Smith, our senior military analyst, what the Russian response on all of this is right now. And what is becoming apparent is the Russians are basically sending down a warning saying, hey, we've got troops in the area. So if you engage in military action, it's going to put our troops in the situation and you could escalate. So this is in my view, Jordan and Wes, this is a calculated move by the Syrians in conjunction with the Russians. That's what's going on here.
I tend to agree, and if you look at that Russian statement, it's exactly that. First, they say it's a hoax, but then they say, if you don't believe us that it's a hoax, understand this, that if you take any kind of strikes, you're going to be killing Russians. And if you start killing Russians, that means you're going to ratchet up the level of this conflict to a new point by not just taking out Syrian bases and Syrian military officials, but also Russian military officials. So it's one of those, like a denying that it ever existed. But if you aren't convinced of that, which no one is in the world, then be ready for the next escalation. Now, we hear this time and time again from groups like the Russians, and they would hope, I think, that they got a president that actually believed them on these issues. But we already saw in the past that the president was willing to act very quickly, Wes, in launching the first major attack, the only so far attack of U.S. military on the Syrian regime. It was during this entire civil war. It happened once. It was the Trump presidency. President Obama, at time after time, they crossed that red line and he didn't engage the Assad regime. Very early in the Trump presidency, President Trump did.
Right, right. And yet you look back to 2013, whenever Syria Assad first used chemical weapons, and that red line was crossed and nothing happened on the part of the world or the U.S., the battle space in Syria has changed drastically since then, and even in the last year since President Trump came into office. But you look back years ago when that red line was crossed with impunity, and we did not have Russian troops in Syria. We did not have Russian fighter aircraft in Syria, nor do we have the Russian Navy in Syria. We have all of those things. You look back to 2013, there were no large formations of Iranian troops in Syria. Now there are literally tens of thousands of Iranian troops. Back then, Turkey, our ally, was united with us in fighting ISIS. That is no longer the case. ISIS is largely defeated, and yet Turkey is no longer an ally with us largely in that fight. So the battle space is very, very complicated.
Yep.
While the United States is not the world's policeman, it is the world's leader, and I think we have to take some sort of action. We will have to do it. Perhaps it will be a roll of the dice. But on the other hand, that battle space is complicated with all the different troops that are there from Iran and Russia. And now we have the Russian Foreign Ministry's office warning us not to respond. And yet at the same time, we can't be intimidated. No response simply is not acceptable.
No, I don't think you're in a situation where it could be no response here. I mean, you've got General James Mattis. Let me play this bite number five.
First thing we have to look at is why are chemical weapons still being used at all when Russia was the framework guarantor of removing all the chemical weapons. And so working with our allies and partners from NATO to Qatar and elsewhere, we are going to address this issue.
Can you rule out taking actions, launching airstrikes against Assad, Mr. Secretary?
I don't rule out anything right now.
I think this is the point. I mean, nothing can be ruled out because we don't know we don't have yet, and it sounds like within 24 or 48 hours, you know there are plans, Jordan, that have been put in place, that have been rehearsed by the State Department, that have been rehearsed by the Defense Department. You have a new National Security Advisor in John Bolton. I think the timing on that is very important. So there's a lot of, in a sense, moving parts here, but these are parts that are very critical to the ongoing issue here, which is the Assad regime is still using chemical weapons against its own civilian population.
Yeah, you referenced 24 to 48 hours. So did the President of the United States this morning. Take a listen. This is President Trump echoing again what Secretary Mattis said, what you just said, that there will be a response being put together in the next 24 to 48 hours, which means at any point now. Take a listen to President Trump this morning, Bite 18.
It was an atrocious attack. It was horrible. You don't see things like that as bad as the news is around the world. You just don't see those images. We are studying that situation extremely closely. We are meeting with our military and everybody else, and we'll be making some major decisions over the next 24 to 48 hours.
And Jay, you're right. We at the Pentagon, the United States government, we have scenarios already in place. We have a scenario for just about every conceivable situation around the world. And so with our response in Syria, and I think we have to respond, is not a matter of what do we do. It's rather which of these things will we do, because we have a large number of options available to us.
So, I think the options, as Wes just pointed out, have to be evaluated. We've got calls coming in at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We wrote a book about this called Unholy Alliance. For those that call in today, we'll get you a copy of that with a comment or a question, because this is obviously an issue that's now, again, unfortunately, I say, of course, front and center with the use of chemical weapons. Jordan, let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, Will's calling in from Colorado on line one. Will, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
I will.
Yeah, hey Jay. The question I have is, what I don't understand is the last President Bush that we had with Donald Rumsfeld over here at Schriever Air Force Base. I was part of the exercise where we had a scenario where we had so much going on. I don't use the word fronts because there's not a real front anymore, but we had so many different things going on in different parts of the world that the scenario they threw at everybody was Mr. Rumsfeld said, okay, this just happened. Like, for instance, this thing with Syria. We got too much going on. We can't be the world's police all over and everything, and so we're stepping back. United Nations, you need to have a plan to step up and take care of this, because we're out. And here we are, how many years later? I'm surprised that the president doesn't just say, we got a plan for this. We had it 15 years ago, and we're going to
But situation has changed in those 15 years. Iran has become much more aggressive in the deployment of its military, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. The Russians have been much more assertive, as Wes said, with both their Navy and Air Force and training. The Syrian regime itself is fighting for survival, so that all of that takes into account. You have to have an evolving methods of handling this, and that's what we're dealing with here, evolving methods to handle with it. Jordan?
Yes, listen, we know how this administration has acted previously. We have seen a very resolute, strong stance. It shocked the world. It shocked our country. It shocked the reporters who cover the Trump administration. It shocked the national defense world who was commenting on outside of the administration. And it was certainly not just a shot right at these war crimes that Syria has committed and their military has committed in the name of a uniform, but what we consider under the laws of international war and the Geneva Conventions, war crimes. And when those 65 Tomahawk missiles were fired, the way our military, and I think the way the rest of the world's militaries viewed the United States and our president, was very different. That he could take action that quickly, getting the information, and boom, action was taken that was serious. Yep. And he wasn't following a precedent there. He wasn't doing something that President Obama had done three times. In fact, he was breaking the precedent that Obama had set, which was do nothing.
So here's the question, Wes. You've been involved in this for a long time in the military. These are evolving scenarios when you've got a situation unfolding like it is now. It's not static.
Right, right. And that's why the Pentagon continually rehearses the scenarios they have in place, but also they're always developing new ones. And you can take several different plans and put them together. So you're exactly right. This is not a static thing that you have, you know, plans on a bookcase and you pull one off the bookcase. They're always developing and refining those. And part of the complication of this is that Russia, you know, which has become a dominant player in Syria, they want to diminish the role of the United States. We're at a point that we really cannot afford to kowtow to them. The potential for a wider conflict in the region is too great. And America's presence in the region, the importance of that presence, is too great for us to do absolutely nothing.
All right, we're going to come back for a break, and we're going to take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll get your comments in as well on Facebook and Periscope. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Let me also say this. Pray for those people in Syria that are being subjected to this war crimes. That's what this are. These are war crimes, utilizing chemical weapons against your own population. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We want to see what you think the president should do, what our military should do, what action should be taken. What's the UN going to do? 800-684-3110. And don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate this month, we get a matching gift for. So I encourage you to do that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Very important that we hear from you as we are approaching the first 10 days of the month. So we're about a third of the way there. ACLJ.org or 1-877-99-2255. Also, Jordan, let you know this. We want to take more calls and comments. We come back.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in through Facebook and Periscope. If you watch us online, we continue throughout the break. For those of you who are watching digitally at Facebook and Periscope, we'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about what has happened in Syria. The Assad forces, backed by, of course, Iran and Russia, have launched another chemical weapons attack. This happened on April 7th, so on Friday evening, on a small town outside of Damascus, considered to be the last rebel-held town in the eastern Ghouta district. The attack comes just days after the Syrian government began its first air and ground assaults on the city, but not chemical, Friday, April 6th. So then they come out with a chemical weapons attack that occurred, I guess, between Saturday and Sunday. According to the Syrian American Medical Society and the Civil Defense Service that operates in these rebel-held areas, 49 people have been killed. That's one report. Another report says over 60 people have been killed because of suspected use of chemical gas. Others have reported, again, up to 60 and 1,000 injured. So a serious attack on this small town outside of Damascus. The U.S. and EU agree that the evidence available points to the use of chemical weapons in the attack. The question is, it looks more like a sarin attack, but what was also certainly used was a chlorine as well, they believe, to conceal the use of sarin at the same time, because sarin is silent. Chlorine has a certain smell to it. As you know, if you've ever been around chlorine, these massive amounts of it, you can imagine the smell would be quite overwhelming. So you would identify initially the chlorine would kind of be able to use to mask. But what you can't mask are what happens by the use of these. And so what they cause and what the doctors are saying on the grounds is it certainly looks like that sarin gas attack, similar to what we responded to with those 65 Tomahawk missiles that were fired off Syria's coast into a Syrian military installation. On top of that, you've got Russia talking tough. You have, of course, Syria talking tough, but the U.S. now considering a response. So the president has said, now this occurred yesterday, the president said between 24 and 48 hours, we expect a response. So we're now getting close to that time period. The UN Security Council has called for an emergency session. That is at 3 p.m. Eastern time today to address two issues. One is this chemical weapons attack. The second issue is one I just briefly mentioned on Facebook and Periscope. It involves Israel. On April 9th, earlier in the day in Syria, following the suspected chemical weapons attack by Syria on Saturday, Israel allegedly responded with an attack on the Syrian airbase of Tivis T4 base near Homs. Israel has neither confirmed nor denied this attack. Israel has accused Damascus of allowing Iran to use the Tivis base as a staging ground for their forces and their allies Hezbollah. Israel said it won't tolerate such a presence near its border, basically another Hezbollah base on its border. You see how they use these kind of chaos of war, even terrorist groups, to try and reestablish strongholds. While the bullets are flying and the bombs are dropping. And so Israel then took out, again, has targeted this this base and has kind of stated west that we now have, as Israel, a clear interest in how all the cards fall. Because if it more and more likely appears that the Syrian regime is hanging on to power, they need to send a clear message as Israel that you cannot be buddy-buddy with Hezbollah or these attacks are going to be fairly regular.
Right, right. And it just shows how much the situation in Syria has changed over the 8 years of the Obama administration, because it is so much more complicated now. And it used to be that Hezbollah was a threat to Israel. but there were no Iranian troops present in Syria. And now there are Iranian troops in Syria, more than likely in Lebanon. They support Hezbollah, which is a strategic threat to the existence of the nation of Israel. Iran supplies Hezbollah with all of their weapons. And this T-4 airbase that Israel attacked was actually a supply depot where weapons are stockpiled before they're shipped to Hezbollah. And so it was in their own vital interest to attack that airbase during all the confusion of the last several days. But the situation in Syria is complicated. There is not an easy fix, but at the same time, I think the United States has to lead the civilized world in responding to this and making it clear that the use of chemical weapons will not be tolerated. That's a world security issue. And interestingly enough, and I think you alluded to it, this town in the suburbs of Damascus was already surrounded and cut off. It was the last rebel stronghold in the western part of Syria near Damascus. There was absolutely no military reason, even though it would have been against the law anyway, no military reason to use sarin and chlorine gas, especially against civilians. It makes you wonder, you know, about the rationality of the Assad regime and Iran and Russia as their backers. I think they are banking on the fact that they can get away with it.
Yeah.
And I think it behooves us to make sure that they know they cannot get away with it.
I think this is an important point. You've got to have a foreign policy that says, which I think the Trump administration has been clear about, they want to be able to get troops out of Syria ultimately when ISIS is defeated. There always means that there's some left, by the way, but you know the massive amounts of troops and the constant combat situation if ISIS is defeated. So sometimes these other leaders, though, they hear that. Even when there's not a timeline, they say, okay, we can kind of, we got this. They're not coming after us, so it's about ISIS to them. It's not about toppling the Assad regime, as some previous presidents or presidential candidates made out their argument to be. So if we could just survive this time period, we could be pretty provocative. You know, we can launch these attacks. We're not have to be too concerned about what they might do back. So I think there's a balance then. You want to hit back in a way that is so strong that they understand they cannot continue these attacks, or else it could begin to engage endanger their ability to maintain control of the territory they fought hard also to retain once again. At the same time, we are dealing with an administration that is in no rush to go back into nation building. So I think targeted attacks on military installations are different than targeted attacks on government buildings that may need to be rebuilt, or areas of more, you know, where it's different kind of construction. So if you can target those attacks at military installations, that weakens the regime without having to go for a regime change idea. But I do want your thoughts on that, because I think the importance of how you respond is all based off kind of like, what is your end goal? I believe the end goal here should be stopping the chemical weapons attack. That's got to be the part one. Part two for some people will be ultimately getting rid of this regime. There's a lot of people who believe that's the necessary next step. There's plenty on the other side of this aisle who believe that you don't want to get into that mess of nation building. It's too complicated right now. Just don't let them gain more power, more use of dangerous weapons, and think they can do it without no recourse. But I want to get your thoughts on it. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Chris in Missouri on line four. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
How you guys doing?
Hey, Chris.
So I think that the U.S. needs to get with Israel and make sure it's not a false flag. And once it's made sure that it's not a false flag, then we need to join forces with Israel and take out a lot of the Air Force that's dropping these bombs on these people. If they don't have planes, they can't drop them.
Well, you know, I think I get your point, Chris, which is that if you can strategically take out one aspect of their military's capabilities, you don't necessarily have to take down the entire government, but they're not able to carry out these horrific attacks, which require the ability to fly. I think that's so far what we've seen the responses be focused on. I expect if there is a response here, that is the kind of response we will see, is one that makes it more difficult to get these bombs up in the air. We have a second half hour coming up. Keep giving us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
Eastern time today, the UN Security Council will be taking up the chemical weapons attack that occurred in Syria. This attack, which has led to over 60 people, civilians being killed, over 1,000 being hospitalized. It was carried out by the Syrian Air Force, of course, working with that military, is working closely with the Russians and the Iranians. So could there be some crossover there in planes used and pilots used? Absolutely. We've seen that in the past in dealing with the Russians and the Iranians. Would not be shocking in this situation either. We also know that Russians and Iranians are operating on the bases that may very well be the targets for a U.S. response. So that collateral damage should focus all on members of the military, but it may include members of foreign militaries as well, complicating the situation that much more. So we have to keep all of that into context when we say, yes, yes, we must respond to this militarily, understanding the consequences, the positives and the consequences. I like a tough, strong response. I agree with what we did with the Tomahawk missiles. We didn't go into the land. We shot from the sea, 65. We took down an air base. It sent a message loud and clear that this kind of behavior is unacceptable and that we could easily do this again. If that would, if that's kind of scenario worked this time and that people with more information than I do are giving the president advice where it would, that's what I would do, is something similar to that. If it hasn't reached some different level of complication, always it can. I mean, so, but really what I would get from you is this. Do you agree that there should be a strike in response to this chemical weapons attack? If you do agree, do you believe it's a strike that's more of a punishment and a statement that you cannot do this, or you will always be hit militarily, will always hit your bases, making it tough for you to have an air force ultimately? Or do you believe, yes, we do these strikes, but that's to overthrow the regime, the Assad regime, and get Iran and Syria out of Russia right now through military force? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, and we'll go right to the phones. We'll answer them with you. We've got retired Colonel Wes Smith in the studio, so we can go through all of these calls. Mary is calling from Texas online, too. Mary, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, thanks for all you do.
Hi, Mary.
Listen, I was in Israel for 2 weeks last year.
Great.
And was on the Syrian border. And here's the deal. These are women and children. I can't fathom how you could strike against your own people with such horrific pain. And yes, I think we should go in and bomb the crap out of them.
Well, I mean, I listen, everybody, they see those images. Everyone wants to do that. Everyone has those thoughts. Everyone feels that exact way. You may have even said it a nice way about how people feel about what they'd like to do to those who would do that to their own people and do that to, you know, again, innocents, civilians, and mostly being women and children, the easy targets. The question is, you do all of that bombing, what's your purpose behind it? Is your purpose behind it to incapacitate West, a Air Force, so that they can't continue these bombings? I think that's a pretty good approach. Or a second, which becomes a much more long-term strategic approach, which is this is like the beginning of the end for the Assad regime. If I knew the Trump administration the way I think I do, I would believe it's probably more likely the first.
Yes.
But it could be some kind of mixture, because I think getting Iran and Iraq out of Iraq and Iran, Russia and Iran out of there to some extent is definitely important to the U.S. government.
Right. I think the U.S. government would not shed any tears if
some of the actions of the world community forced the Assad regime to topple, but I don't think that is our direct strategic goal. And yet, in our response, it has to be, I think, one that does punish them. I think, like, for example, whenever we went in last year and we sent missiles into the Syrian airbase, we destroyed literally half of the Syrian Air Force that night, their planes. So I think that punishment does speak volumes. It's obviously a deterrent that has not worked completely. I think if we do that more and more, that becomes a deterrent. And I think probably that is the goal as far as U.S. policy goes. And that is, we want to punish them severely for this as a deterrent so that they will quit killing innocent civilians.
All right, folks, we come back. We've got some new sound. Lindsey Graham talking about Putin himself, about the Assad regime. He is a very powerful voice in the U.S. Senate when it comes to these issues. Listen, we believe a response is imminent, folks. I mean, it could be something that happens daytime in the U.S., but evening there. The president said next 24, 48 hours, that clock has already started kicking.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. As I said to our Facebook and Periscope audience, new sound from President Trump on the Syria attack and directly related to Putin's responsibility, Russian responsibility, and who will pay a price. Take a listen. Very strong language from President Trump, who has had strong language in the past about these chemical attacks. Byte 22.
Can he bear responsibility for this?
He may, yeah, he may. And if he does, it's going to be very tough.
He'll pay a price.
Everybody's going to pay a price. He will, everybody will.
U.S. military action, is it off the table?
Nothing's off the table. Nothing's off the table.
Let me read that for you, depending on how good the audio is, if you're traveling by car, not using a digital source to listen in. The reporter asked, Does Putin bear responsibility for this, President Trump? He may. Yeah, he may. And if he does, it's going to be very, very tough. Reporter, he'll pay a price. President Trump, everybody's going to pay a price. He will. Everybody will. Reporter, U.S. military action. Is it off the table, Mr. President? President Trump, nothing's off the table. Nothing's off the table. As he said before in a previous statement, if it's Russia, if it's Syria, if it's Iran, if it's all of them together, we'll figure it out and we'll know the answer quite soon. So you can tell that the Trump administration is putting together a response. The quote the president said, everyone will pay a price. Let me go to Harry Hutchinson, because Harry, again, I think it surprises some of those watchers of President Trump, the reporters out there, the pundits who try to think he's this isolationist who's afraid to take action overseas. And yet he seems already always first and ready to take the responsive action when it's required, but it's done in a measured way, tough tone, but in a measured way.
Absolutely. And so first we should turn to the appointment of John Bolton as President Trump's national security advisor. 1 month ago, he said that the UN Security Council weapons inspectors monitoring North Korea's compliance with UN sanctions have reportedly concluded that for several years, the North Koreans have been selling Syria materials for the production of chemical weapons. In addition, the UN report and other sources indicate considerable involvement by Iran, China, and Russia in financing and transporting North Korea's chemical and other weapons-related materials to Syria. Thus understood, Iranian Supreme Leader Vladimir Putin and President Xi of China all share responsibility for Bashar al-Assad's atrocities in Syria, and they all should pay a price.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, it's a situation. We want to get people's thoughts on this at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones with Lisa. Has been holding on from California on line three. Hey, Lisa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, gentlemen. The question that I have is, why is the United States the only one outraged by this? Why is not the rest of the world standing up and saying, wait a minute, these chemical attacks are disgusting and unacceptable, and not allowing Assad to keep doing this?
Well, I mean, I think that the Security Council is meeting. So, Wes, we don't take all the praises that the U.S. is handling this. And by the way, I don't think the U.S. wants to be in that situation either.
No.
We have to work with partners in this situation. We have in the past before, but it's gotten very complicated. I mean, you're taking out a lot of potential, even not friends, but partners, when you've got Iran and Russia on the same side as Syria. They're actually taking a side.
Right.
So then you go through the list of countries who are willing to be on the opposite side of them, and then that dwindles the list down. And so you realize you're left with kind of the Western world. And who's the most powerful country in the Western world? Well, that happens to be militarily, and on a number of issues, the United States of America. But the Security Council is taking it up. I think that they'll be pretty strong on the condemnation of the chemical weapons, but it will be up to a member state likely to respond.
Yeah, the United Nations Security Council can be feckless about 75% of the time. Russia uses their veto power,
right,
to veto, you know, things like that. The tragic irony in this, and there are actually numerous tragic ironies in it, not only was Russia the guarantor that Syria would get rid of all of its chemical weapons, for the past year, Russian warplanes routinely bomb civilian hospitals and schools throughout Syria in the name of fighting ISIS, but they're actually bombing hospitals, schools, and other civilian targets. Every time Nikki Haley or the U.S. or one of our allies tries to bring this before the United Nations Security Council and pass a resolution, Russia vetoes it. So I think what will happen with this, maybe it will surprise us. I don't look for Russia to allow any kind of strong action or condemnation to come out of the Security Council. What will happen in response to these chemical attacks is a coalition of the willing led by the United States to take action to punish Assad's regime.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine this, the Security Council. I'd say it's more likely that they figure out some way to condemn Israel at the Security Council this afternoon because of their airstrike on a Syrian base that has been utilized against by, it's being run by Hezbollah, and they've hit before. More likely that Israel will be condemned by the Security Council for that if the U.S. doesn't veto it. The U.S. probably will, but if U.S. didn't veto it, more likely the whole world would come together to condemn them. In Russia's case, most of the world would be ready to condemn them, but they've got the veto. That's what I was trying to make the difference is. So And though it's more likely the world would love to rush and condemn Israel, they could do that in a very united way. The U.S. can step up and stop that. When in Russia's case, where, again, I think world condemnation would cross a lot of different lines, and it would not be that kind of political way they love to condemn Israel, they won't be able to. What the Security Councils can do is send a signal out to those who are willing to take action on this. If you want to talk to us on the phone, we've got a few lines open for you. We've got a next half hour coming up as well. We take as many calls as we can. The number you call is 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've got this question coming in through Facebook, so I'm going to take it now. What do you believe a Russia response would be to an attack like this on Syria that may involve Russian military or Iranian military? How do you think Russia or Iran will respond to a U.S. attack like this? I'd love to get your thoughts about that. 1-800-684-3110 if you've got thoughts about it. That's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to call in right now and give us your thoughts on that. Because Jesse wrote in on Facebook, guys, that he's curious why we hold a view that Russia will not do anything if we respond militarily. And I don't think we believe that Russia won't do anything if we respond military. The question is, do they respond by doing anything military themselves?
Right.
And that's probably a no.
That is a no. They do not want a wider conflict with the United States, partly because, I mean, it's not going to happen, but they would lose that conflict. But also, they value their stationing of their troops and their assets in Syria. They do not want to put that in jeopardy. They would complain. They would take some action, I'm sure. But Russia, I do not think, would respond in a large way militarily. Part of what was rumored, and then later on the CIA denied it years ago, but a year ago when President Trump sent the 65 cruise missiles into the base in response, again, to the use of chemical weapons, there was a report that the United States called the Russian authorities first and said, move your troops. And then, of course, later on, our intelligence community denied that. I wonder, personally, if that actually happened. And certainly that would be one strategy now. We do not know all that's going on behind the scenes, the conversations that are taking place, all of the military and political jockeying. But the United States, I think, more than likely, would actually tell the Russians, look, this is what we're going to do. You have this many hours to respond to get your troops into a clear area, and that we would simply take action. And if they don't move their troops, that is on them.
All right. We're going to continue to take phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We got a second half hour coming up. If you want to talk to us on the phones, that's 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Do you believe the Russians will try to respond militarily to the United States taking action here? Do you believe the U.S. is going to take action? Follow the example of the previous Trump administration action, shooting those 65 Tomahawk missiles into a Syrian air base. Will that impact Iran? Will that impact Russia? It almost certainly will. How will they respond? We've got a final segment to discuss all of this. And these are those kind of actions that, again, sometimes take days to develop, and other times we wake up and find out are happening or already happened while we were asleep in the United States. The number you call again is 1-800-684-3110. You can also go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And again, we encourage you to support the work of the Americans for Law and Justice. You can double the impact of your donation to the ACLJ this month by being part of our matching challenge. Whatever you donate is doubled at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll talk to you in the next segment. Give us a call. We want your thoughts at 1-800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
Now, talking about saber rattling, our producer Will just brought this into me, and we talked about Iran being involved in this situation in Syria and Russia as well, that it is nuclear day in Iran. Sure, that's a wonderful day to be in Iran, where President Rouhani reaffirmed his government's commitment to the deal and said that Iran would not be the first to violate it. He also stressed Iran is ready to quickly revert to the situation before the deal. Should the U.S. abandon it? He gave on some more information. If they breach the deal, they will see its impact within a week or less. I thought they were supposed to be taking it down to such levels that were so slow, their uranium, that even if they decided to breach the deal, it would take a very long time for them to be at operational capacity. Well, not so, says the spokesman for Iran's atomic agency, Behrouz Kamal Vandi. He claims that should the Iranian nuclear deal collapse, Iran would be able to restart the enrichment program and enrich uranium to the level of 20% within 2 days. Weapons-grade uranium is 90% enriched. So basically, they would be at where they were in two days, whenever they want to be, which shows you how bad of a deal that was, that they still have those capabilities available to them. But in light of all the things we're talking about, the context matters, how the context matters here. We've already got two nuclear powers dealing with Syria when you got Russia and the United States. When you're talking about an Iran who is claiming on nuclear day in Iran that they are 2 days away from just restarting the current program they had, which was putting them on a path to a bomb. I mean, you see why this gets more and more complicated. And these countries, like Wes was talking about, they are being kind of bold, putting information out there through official sources that they may not have in the past. This is the segment we take phone calls. Let's go right to the calls. We'll take as many as we can. Let's start with Julie in California on line one. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. Listening to you have taught me so much already in this show. One thing I do agree with you with, that Russia will not take too much military action because they want to protect their own assets. And you talked about part two of the plan, whether we should try and take out Assad and get Russia and Iran out of there. I think we start needing to think about that very closely to come up with a long-range plan. And the other nations that you just mentioned are watching, China, Turkey, North Korea, Iran. If we don't act tough, they're going to say, well, they're a paper tiger. We'll just let them do. We'll do whatever we want.
Well, listen, I mean, if you don't do anything, I think that there is a truth to them taking on the idea that they can do whatever they want within reason. I mean, I don't think that these are countries that think that they can go act this way outside of their own, for instance, territories. I think Syria would understand it was operating in a very different way if it was operating in another country. They kind of have this idea that, well, if we're dealing with our own people, we can deal with them the way that we want to. That's how we've led as strong men. That's how we'll die as strong men. And you can shoot the missiles at us, and that may put us at a disadvantage. But see, look, we'll do it once again when we feel necessary. Now, I'm sure they were a bit emboldened. I think they probably read the statement the way the liberal media wanted them to read it, which is not what the Trump administration actually said, which is that, oh, see, the U.S. is on the way out, so let the killing spree begin. The U.S. has almost annihilated one of our enemies, ISIS, which we already told you was an issue with this conflict, is that ISIS was an enemy of the Assad regime. So it's you had to get rid of ISIS, but by getting rid of ISIS, you were taking one battlefield away that Assad was having to fight against, and then you went to the more loosely held together rebel fighters who weren't getting really enough backing to be taken seriously, and a lot of times themselves were getting radicalized and clumped into other radical Islamic groups. So again, they see some writing on the wall as well. The truth is, I think you've got two options here. Lindsey Graham talks about one of them. We could get people's reaction to it. Lindsey Graham believes at this point that Assad himself is a legitimate target because he's violated a war crime. Take a listen, bite one.
So I think now he is a legitimate war criminal in the eyes of the international community, and that Assad and his inner circle should be considered war criminals, legitimate military targets. If you have the opportunity to take him out, you should.
So, I mean, again, that's about as extreme as you could say about a world leader. It happened, though, during, like, the Nazis were treated this way, and then afterwards they were, at trials, they were given the death penalty. They were executed. So, again, it's getting to that point. That also can embolden the regime not to to do everything possible to hold on to power, because it's about saving their own lives at this point, saving their life and their power and their families, and they have large families rule. Let's take another call, then get comments in from Harry and Wes. Let's go to Andy in Pennsylvania online for Andy. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks, Jordan. My comment is, I think since Russia has been admittedly working alongside Syria, shouldn't they be held accountable? And my other statement is, I think the world should be put on notice that, yes, the U.S. will take action.
Well, I mean, held accountable to some extent, I think that's why, Wes, when we're willing to take out these strikes, and as Stan alluded to earlier, you know, and we've talked about before, is that, you know, are there phone calls that get made saying to some who are not necessarily allies but are not our straight-up enemies in this, by the way, this could be a target. You may not want your people there. You may not want your equipment there because this might be happening. Not saying it will. And I'm sure that happens to a number of locations. So they don't know which one it would be, if any at all. But that being said, I don't think you could treat them as taking the lead. I think that if they took a couple more steps, though, they may fall into that category.
Right, right. The idea, as the caller mentioned, of holding Putin and Russia accountable, the only way to hold them accountable is with that coalition of the willing that you referenced just then, and of course economically as sanctions and what have you. And part of what the Trump administration is debating at this very moment is how do we hold Putin and Russia and Iran accountable along with the Assad regime? And we have to do that because there's a part of the world, including most of the United Nations, they will not take action. And so we have to consider very deliberately what our actions will be. And that's exactly what's going on as we speak.
All right. We've got time for one more call. Rick in South Carolina online too. Rick, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks, Jordan. I was wondering, could the UN pass a resolution to try to force Assad out of power?
It absolutely could pass one. The problem, Harry, is that with Russia has that veto power. So even if the whole world felt good about this, with Russia and a veto power, unless they really turned on Assad for some reason, which I don't see happening in the near future, but unless they did, any kind of call for overthrow of the regime, basically, is what they would do, would be thwarted by that veto. Now, you could put together, like Wes is talking about, this rest of the world coalition to do it. I'm not sure that the momentum is there for that yet, but it's not going to happen through the Security Council.
I think you're absolutely right. I think we should, along with other members of the Coalition of the Willing, impose additional economic sanctions on Russia, and particularly on Russian arms dealers who are linked to Vladimir Putin. In addition, we should note that Assad continues to sleep peacefully in his bed while his citizens struggle to breathe. Hence, we should target him as a war criminal.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot to talk about here. There's a lot of decisions that could be made. Tomorrow on the broadcast, we may get into this more if there's any action throughout today or overnight in a retaliatory move by the United States. We also are preparing to release that first batch of what we have received through our FOIA lawsuit with the NSA and State Department on unmasking. We're getting that together, as we told you about on Friday. for our first batch of releases on that. Could lead with that tomorrow on the radio broadcast. So there'll be plenty of to talk about, both following up on this issue and some new issues as well. And that's just the second day of this week. So we appreciate you being with us today. Go to aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at ACLJ.org.